Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu.
Welcome to Strike a Chord,
late night edition.
Late night edition. Well, it's any night edition, really. This is our 49th episode. We've got our 50th episode coming up.
We'll have to try and plan something extra special.
Yeah. Have some, I don't know, some party hats or something.
Some music pro services hats.
And the bone thing, whatever they are. I don't know. The stream. I don't know. How are you going?
I'm feeling very grounded.
You're looking very grounded.
Feeling very zen. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm always feeling fantastic. Always grounded. Every day.
That's true.
Yes. Well, I'm always feeling grounded. I don't know whether I am or not, but I'm feeling grounded every day. I do it physically every day. So, but you've just come from a Reiki session.
I have. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who.
Of course you are. Yes. Yeah, so, it's a good segue, actually, to what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah. So it's from beautiful Anna, who creates the cakes.
Yes, that's right.
Cake Eclipse. And I just feel very, Reiki. How do you describe Reiki?
I can probably describe it a little bit because I get it done not regularly so much in the last couple of months, but it's something that it's energy direction. So the energy from the universe comes in through whoever's doing it and pinpoints you on your body.
Any blockages
and where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And that's basically what Reiki is, and it's all got to do with spirituality as well. Obviously, you have to believe in it.
Well, it's linked to that's true. And I guess when we say energy, we collect energy from different people along
Correct.
The way.
Yes,
and I was
definitely.
Feeling like I'd perhaps built up a bit of excess energy.
Yeah, and different types of energy.
Different types of energy. And especially with, even as musicians, we would pick up a lot of different energies from people. And
from working together and from people from the crowd, playing live. Certain venues have different energies. Experienced that when they say, the energy on stage was really good or the energy on stage was really shit.
Or really flat.
And that's all connected.
Mm.
But you just had the sessions and how are you feeling?
I just feel very, I feel in a good way. I've been sleeping well, but I feel like I'm going to have a good night's sleep, like that feeling of really relaxed. And I just feel really relaxed and present. Present as in I feel grounded in my body.
Very good.
Yeah.
You'll find that when you do Reiki.
It's like a fine-tuning, isn't it?
It is fine-tuning, yeah. I've actually done an experiment with myself being a musician and Reiki, and after I've had a Reiki session, I've gone and played the guitar straight away.
Mm.
But you have to wait.
You have to
wait a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what I found with me. Like going and playing, it doesn't work like that. Like probably a meditation, quick meditation will help you go and play better. But a Reiki session is like a full Reiki session. You need to actually, when you stop or when the Reiki session ends, you have to have some water and come to
process. Allow the body to recalibrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Allowed recalibration. I like that one. I think with all the energy and everything, because that's what we are. We're a ball of energy.
We're energy. Yeah. We're walking beings. Mm. But beyond what you see at face level, there's so much going on internally that we collect. So much residue and so many things, experiences that store themselves and get stuck.
Yeah, and we don't realize that these energies are in our body, and we need to do something to either confront these energies or release them. So
shift
them. Yeah,
like exercise helps. Like moving the body obviously helps move that energy.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and also things like Reiki, meditation.
Yeah.
thinking positive, thinking, you know, in the present moment, thinking that today you wake up today and you're grateful that you're here. I think that really makes a big difference. Being aware that, you know, this is now, this is what it is now. Don't worry about what's just happened, you know, in your past or what's just happened like a few seconds ago, because you're living the moment now. So I think it's very, very important to realize that, and energy and stress, like they lock in a lot of the times.
And a lot of it, like, I got to the point where I felt like I just needed to, because we meditate and things and then we ground ourselves, and then all it takes, you don't even realize it's unconscious. Something can happen. And then before you know it, you're thinking all these thoughts and you're falling back into that pattern. And I guess, you know, we're always evolving and things, and that, I don't want to use the word ego. How do you describe it? Like certain habits
you're falling back into old
patterns and old habits,
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that you're programmed with, and it's hard to overcome that. But if you can see yourself where it's happening and you're aware of it, that it's happening, that's a major step forward.
Oh, definitely. And even like that's why I was feeling like I was kind of falling back in, and I was like, but then something told me, Reiki.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's what comes into your mind sometimes. It's I believe in that sort of stuff and believe in synchronicity and everything like that. Things are supposed to happen. Nothing happens out of coincidence. So all those things, your body's telling you something, or your mind's telling you something that, you know, something is not right somewhere. You need to do something about it.
And that's the intuition, which Correct. We tend to lose sight of at times. We think it's our intuition and it's our own. We trick ourselves with the thoughts, the overthinking.
So true. And we do that in music and in our daily lives as a musician. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
The intuition you feel like when you're, for example, I've had many gigs where I haven't felt good about gigs, and it's a gut feeling. You know, even before the gig, before you even think about performing, it's something's not aligning, something's not right. And you're self-doubting, you put self-doubt in your head, and, you know, you haven't got a good gut feeling about a certain, you know, whether you're playing with a certain band or you're playing at a certain venue or it's that gig, something's not right. And this is where that intuition that you talk about is very, it's very profound, because if you, and this is where you yourself as an individual, you test yourself. Can I change this intuition? Can I change it and make it from a negative to a positive? Or am I just going to stay with my gut feeling? And, you know, like I've had a couple of gigs where I've had really bad gut feelings about them, and they've cancelled.
Wow.
And like,
wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a few where I've had like bad feelings about it, and all of a sudden I get a cancel in the gig, and the gig doesn't go ahead, and I feel much better about it. You know,
it's so there was something there.
There was something there. Like you can feel something. Like whenever I was to think about that gig, or whenever something was mentioned, or I get an email or some sort of correspondence regarding it, I'd get something that isn't right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it gets cancelled, and you think, oof, and it gets a whole load of your shoulders.
Yeah.
Not because you can't do the gig. It's not because you're doubting the actual people behind the gig. It's not about that. It's just something that you can't explain, and it's that gut for the intuition. Have you had anything like that with gigs where you felt that this is?
Yeah, but it's interesting when we talk about intuition. I think until recently, I've gotten confused about what I think my intuition is, because we lose, and that's just coming from not being connected and self-aware.
Yeah.
And then you almost trick yourself. Sometimes I've thought things were my intuition. It was actually me creating the thought in my mind.
Yes, there's a fine line.
And we do this as musicians because we tend to overthink and analyze everything. I've done it with gigs where I've gone, and I've not done that gig, and it was actually
quite good.
Yeah. And that's in the past. Now I'm starting to kind of notice, trying to figure out not figure out, like, as soon as you try to figure something out, you overthink it as exactly. Intuition, like, it's a, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can trick yourself.
Exactly. And that's why I think sometimes you just need to go with the flow.
Yes.
And just let it happen, because we're stressing out for something that hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. And we project.
Yeah,
something that might or may or may not happen.
And we're stressing about something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, and I've had gigs where I've felt quite uneasy about, and then I've gone and done the gig and it's been one of the best gigs.
Yeah.
So your brain tends to fool you, but that gut instinct, that is I reckon that's really true.
Yeah.
The only thing is that how the brain perceives it, it's that it'll throw you into fight or flight mode.
Yes.
Or you have the excitement that you're actually going to go out and do a gig.
Yep.
And then you sort of like, you put thoughts into your head, oh, maybe I'm not ready for this gig, or maybe this, or maybe that's going to happen. What if people don't show up, or what if the other band members don't show up, and that's just false. You're putting false thoughts into your head.
Yeah.
We do that a lot.
Oh, we do that a lot. And I guess on that note, like, we're talking about what we do to, like, in well-being, we're just talking about Reiki
and
things we can do specifically musicians, we correct. Tend to overthink, and we've talked about performance anxiety. I have a question for you. For well-being wise, what are some things that you do to help maintain your well-being and to, I guess, help you to feel grounded and centered, especially, let's say, if you're performing a gig or if you're feeling anxiety over how something even went?
Well,
thoughts and stuff.
I'll tell you where I've evolved to, where I used to be. I used to be the person that was really, really nervous a week leading up to the gig. I really used to get edgy and nervous. And you can ask my family how I felt. But I'm at that point where now I don't feel nervous or edgy or anything like that for the whole week. I feel nervous when I get to the venue.
Yeah.
So what's helped in that respect is obviously meditating.
Yes.
Grounding and centering yourself and not thinking, as you said, not thinking too much about it. But also I've got it in my head that it hasn't happened yet, so why are you stressing?
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, oh, but this happened last time. And that's the past. So don't think about that, because you can't go and change it, right? But you can learn from that and bring it into the present moment. So that's really what is driving me now, and that's what's helped me. I still get nervous, right? For every gig, for any gig. It doesn't matter how many people or where it is. I still get nervous. You know, you get your stage jitters and stuff like that. But at one stage, it was really debilitating for me. So and now I've evolved, and now I don't really you know how you get your thoughts and your demons on stage, and I just put them on the side and just let them watch like everyone else. That's what I try to do. And I also with the bigger shows and bigger concerts and stuff, as you know, I'll write down some affirmations and stuff like that.
Yes.
Where, you know, I can listen and remind myself.
Yeah.
You know, which helps a lot.
Yeah.
But I think staying very healthy is very, very important. Mentally healthy, also physically healthy.
Yes.
What you put in your what you put in your body really makes a difference.
Oh, it's amazing how much difference. Energy levels wise, too, back to energy, like you eat something heavy. I know, because I've been eating a lot of chips in the last let's not say how long, but
yeah. And look, it's not a
you can treat yourself.
It's not a point of every day being so strict on yourself.
No. But
you know, if you feel that, you know, your body's something's not happening physically and you're getting some pains or inflammation, probably cut back on things like I do intermittent fasting, and that's helped me heaps with my physical, you know, health. And I feel great. I don't have any chronic pains anymore. It's fantastic. So but in saying that, that also gives you that mental clarity as well. So
mental clarity, that's an important one. Yes, we get a lot of brain fog, don't we?
Heaps, especially musicians. Like,
especially
if you're working on a few projects, if you're working with a band, if you're working on recording, if you're working on even other projects, organizing and scheduling rehearsals and stuff like that, you do get brain fog because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Scheduling is a good way to start to try and put the lines in a delineation of what you're doing. But I think what's helped me is meditating, saying to yourself that, you know, you're not gonna lose anything, right? You know, financially for a musician can become very stressful.
Yeah.
If you're doing just music, that's a number one stress factor. And I've been there, I've done that, and I'm doing it again now. So I'm being a full-time music professional, right?
Yeah.
I've got a totally different outlook on it now. So whereas it was, oh my God, where's my next $10 going to come from? You know, I've been in that situation in my life a few times. Whereas now I think, look, you know, they can take everything that's materialistic. They can take, you know, they can take my gear, they can take, you know, my car, they can take everything. They can't take my soul. So, yeah. You know, and that's where I've become aware. And when I think about that, I actually get more excited about what I'm doing. So, you know,
yeah, things, the non-attachment, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And things will happen. I find that, you know, if you, and this is what I've heard recently, you need to be excited in your life. To be excited, you know, you need to have a passion, right? And work towards that. And work towards it and be excited and work 100% towards it, you know? Make it, you know, your priority to work about that excitement. And third of all, I think that when you do that, you'll find that things come your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, law of attraction.
Yeah.
I was like, last year this time, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Yeah. And now it's like everything's sort of like everything's coming my way, sort of a thing. Not in respect of financial gain, which I'm not really stressed about, but creative ways, things are coming to me now, and I can actually sit there and produce.
You're every in the day. Flow.
I'm in the flow.
Yeah.
And that's all thanks to grounding, meditating, being healthy.
Yeah.
And also the other thing is that if you're in a family and a band situation, this is very important because you're projecting that energy to them.
Definitely. You're all exchange. It's an energy exchange.
It is an energy exchange. And I know you've been working on that as well for the last year or so. And we've had many conversations and you've come to that point where you actually didn't know now what you're going to do, what you want to do and what your inspirations and what your excitement is.
Right? Yeah.
And you know, actually, no, you said it to me this year, I want to record.
Yeah.
And you're feeling really pumped about it.
Yeah, I actually want to take a step back. Look, I'm still going to do shows and stuff, but the priority is performing.
Hmm.
And I'm just enjoying like I'm on the self-care. I'm just going for more nature walks. And I feel like that's really, really shifting my mood because I was finding I was just feeling a bit heavy, but I haven't really been moving the body. And now that I'm moving the body, just a walk, I'm not doing anything over extraneous.
You're vibrating on a higher frequency now.
Yeah, I feel more grounded, but I also feel I have more energy.
Yeah.
And
you're happier. You look happier.
Yeah. Oh, I feel very zen. And look, I've put on the affirmations, I've got this quote that I found that I love. It's something like, do not waste this appointment we have with life.
Very good.
Sarah Blondin. She's fantastic. She's like a wordsmith.
That's a great quote.
Yeah, but as musicians as well, I feel like exercise is so important because we tend, I'm guilty of this. We lock ourselves in a room for hours and we sit or stand and practice, but we're not moving. We're moving our fingers. We're moving certain parts, but we're not actually walking around. And
not only that, we're not walking around with our minds.
No. Sometimes
we're just sitting there rehearsing over and over and over and over again, and it becomes pointless. There's that development, you know.
It becomes quite tedious, doesn't
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, the muscle member is there, and it's like, you're not even listening to what you're rehearsing.
No, no, it doesn't.
And you're thinking, does this sound good or does it sound really shit? I don't know.
And you keep doing it.
And you keep doing it. And you keep doing it. And it's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
And then you're tired.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to be tired because you're going over and over and over and over and over and over. And that's one thing that I try to refrain from, especially at the, on the day of the gig.
Yes.
I don't want to rehearse that much.
Look, I'm still working on that.
Yeah. So, and I'll rehearse as much as I can, but I find that sometimes on the day of the gig, I won't even rehearse the things that I'm going to be playing. I just rehearse.
You just play Elvis. Just play. Yeah, that's a good point.
Just to give you a bit of a refresher, refreshing sort of like outlook.
And a little mini warm-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all in all, you have to stay healthy. I think for any individual, not only musicians, but any individuals, in particular musicians, have to really be aware as well of what they're going to be playing, first of all, obviously, but also how are they going to, in what state are they going to be when they're playing it?
Exactly. And we have all these temptations, and also musicians, we mainly perform in the evening. So little things like sleep, it can affect our sleep pattern. A lot of us have, or some of us have jobs during the day as well. So it's finding that balance.
Correct.
And you said, on that, I don't know if you're talking about bars and right, specifically bars, and we get a lot of drink cards and things like that.
See, and that's another thing that you actually touched on a bit of a subject there, because musicians have this or had this sort of like image of musicians being drinkers and drug takers and all of that, and there are some still that are doing it, but I think what's happening now is like there's a shift. So I know, let's say musicians from my generation used to abuse a lot of that.
Yeah.
And now they've actually stopped, and now they're seeing the second charge, you know. It's like some of them are going into that state of spirituality and meditating, or going into that state of new physical sort of like beings where they're taking care of themselves, they're going to the gym, they're exercising, and you know, and they're eating well. But doing all that alcohol and the thing, like you'll have a drink or two, that's fine, but you know, people used to do that to actually block their nervousness for stage.
Yes, and I look, there's still some people who do it to block their nervousness.
And even drugs, they take there are some over the counter prescriptions, I should say. They're called something like blockers, and they block your
They're called blockers.
they block your nervousness receptors, so you don't feel nervous, but you don't play up to that thing. You know how when you play with eagerness, you're just playing at that.
Look, I've got something to admit. Yeah, it's happened before to me, not with blockers, but with just alcohol.
Yeah,
I did a gig the other day, and like my sister, my family was there. I was like, oh, I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah.
And then I had a drink and I realized that I didn't feel anything.
Mm.
And I was playing and I was like, I don't actually, like I got into it in the second set. But then afterwards I was like, was that a mixture combination of, I felt slightly like I was really relaxed, but almost too relaxed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's what alcohol does. It slows everything. It goes. That's what I don't drink when I play.
Well, see, that's a good point. And I don't normally, like, I'm not a huge drinker. I'm not really a drinker.
No, but you have, like, a social
sometimes
drink.
Sometimes I'll
right?
have a, like, but for me, that really affected, like, again, the second set was fine, but I still, there was some weird transition where I was like, like a part blocked, part there.
And I'll tell you something else why I think you felt like that. So you're meditating regularly, you're grounding yourself and everything like that.
More sensitive.
It actually works against it.
Yeah.
You know, it actually works against that whole thing.
Yeah, I was very sensitive to it. And I actually woke up the next day with a really bad hangover, and I didn't have the,
And that happens, and because you're programming your body and your mental state to this higher level, right? And you're just bringing it down with alcohol.
Yeah, not doing that again.
But sometimes, you know, you'll have a drink, and if the energy is like that, and people are having a bit of a drink, you'll have a drink. But then you have to go and play.
I don't think I'll be doing that when I'm.
There are
going
some
to
people
play.
That can't play without having a drink.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I know a few people like that.
Yeah, me too.
So, But all in all, you need to really take care of yourself. And to take care of yourself takes a lot of effort and a lot of hard work. It's never easy.
You're reprogramming.
Yeah.
You're reprogramming your habits, your thoughts, and it all comes in. You know,
it does.
It's not just one thing. And you've got to keep doing it. It's repetition. Like, as we do when we learn an instrument, it's repetition. It's the same thing for reprogramming what we put into our body in terms of what we're thinking and what we're eating.
Exactly right. Yeah. And you find that when that happens, and this is talking from my experience and from my personal self, being a creative, you'll find that you'll get even more creative and things will come to your mind and things will come to fruition.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have less blocks of creativity and you'll all of a sudden listen to something that you've listened to all your life and then you listen to it differently and you think, geez. And you'll open up your mind. Like in the last couple of months, my mind has exploded with things that I've been listening to.
Yeah.
That I've listened to
before. You've been so creative as well. You've been recording so much as well.
Yeah. But even listening, half of that is listening.
Yeah.
So when you're listening, you think, geez, and you start to listen to intricate things that you haven't listened. You've listened to a song probably 1,000 times, but you start listening to it differently.
Yeah.
And this is, I used to listen to it very analytically. Now I'm listening to it from an even higher level. Like it's that you listen to the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's some songs that I thought I never really liked in the past and listen to them again and think, is there something there?
Well, you're listening to it in the moment. You're not actually listening to for something.
Exactly.
You know, we tend to. Well, because we come from that background.
Yeah, we do.
Where we're taught to listen to find certain. Yeah, that's the programming.
That's the programming. You know?
I have a question. Oh, sorry.
Go.
On that note, I'm going to ask you a question about when you write music. So there's this myth that you need to be a tortured artist to write something so emotional. Like, I'm sure you've heard of that, where people need to be really depressed. And
maybe once upon a time.
Yeah.
Not anymore, I don't think, because I think the real creative are vibrating on a different level. And I there's an artist that my daughter's sort of like listening to, and I forgot his name. He's a very young guy. The name escapes my mind. But he's writing apparently all these hits about really like romance hits, like love songs, but about bad romances and things that haven't been successful. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And really, you know, love stories that have gone down the shit. Yeah, right. And he's never had a relationship in his life.
Really?
And he's writing all these hits.
Oh, so that's so interesting.
There's your
answer.
So
he's in the flow.
So he's in the flow.
You don't need to have that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah.
That the song that I showed you the other day.
Yeah, that's lyrics, about heartache.
I've never written lyrics in my life.
You smashed it.
So, and now it's like, you know, and I'm not in a bad state. I just.
No, you just.
You know, it's just the flow.
Experimenting,
I think is once you put your mind into something and you're focused, and for that you need to be really, your mind has to be clear and you have to be like in the zone and not have fog brain.
Yeah.
Or brain fog, I should say.
Look. Both.
Everything's possible.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's you got to hit at that time. Sometimes things happen. And you think, oh, this has come to me now. Go and do it.
Yes.
Drop everything. Go and do it, because you might not find that moment. That's living in the moment.
It's true. And lately, I've been a bit in the flow, but while I've been dreaming, But the funny thing is I've been dreaming and I haven't been waking up to write these ideas down. And then in the morning, I want to get to that point where it comes up and I'm able to physically move myself out of the bed to record the idea.
I've done that a few times in my life, but it's hard.
When you're in that state of sleep. I remember coming up with these amazing ideas, and it's still happening now. Like, these ideas are coming in my sleep.
You got a healthy mind.
I mean, that's
what I reckon. Your mind's getting healthier and healthier, and it's creating all this stuff. I think.
Happen during the day now. I can actually.
It's the subconscious versus the conscious mind, right?
Yeah, I'm probably more relaxed when I'm in a sleep state. So it's just bringing that relaxed.
But that's a good thing.
Oh, no, it's great.
You're relaxed and things are happening. Look, sometimes, you know, you're spewing because you get up in the morning and I've had... I know. I had the same sort of dream about a week ago, and I go to my wife, I go, I had all these amazing melodies and everything like that. And I go, I can't remember one of them. And I was too buggered to get up. And she goes, oh, it'll come to you again. Maybe it won't.
That's all right. We can enjoy right. having.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was all about, just to enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very important to have that healthy state of mind. And the other thing I'm going to mention is to be, as a musician, you need to be, I think, in a social sort of circle of other creatives.
Yes.
So...
people who inspire you.
Yeah. And people that you can sit down and chat with, not only just music, but any sort of art. Like, I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful because my wife's an artist. So we come from the same sort of world, and we can sit down and talk for hours, and we're together every day. And there's never a dull moment, right? But also that network, or the circle of friends that you have, is very important to have musicians and artists in that thing, because that's what you thrive on. That's what you feed off. You feed off the same, you say you guys are on the same wavelength, same energy.
Mm.
You know, what are you working on now? What do you think of this song? And you're sending yourself some songs and you're saying, oh, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? That's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important. Very important for that mind state and that healthy being of being a creative. And, you know, like I went through this moment where I lost all these friends. Not that they were still my friends, I still had contact with them, but I lost that lifestyle, that thing where you get together and you chat about things and when I shifted my lifestyle, that's when this podcast happened.
Mm.
So there was a thing. I made an effort to shift,
yeah,
and that sort of brought me back to where I want to be. So. Yeah. I think that's very important. Be that thing where, you know, don't only think, oh, I would like to be here, I'd like to be in that, you know, in that position. Actually manifest it and think that you're there already. I think that's when I did the pod, before I did the podcast, I actually pictured the whole thing, and then it happened.
Yeah.
You know?
So true. Yeah.
And I think that's just a healthy mindset. That's why you see all these big CEOs and everything like that. They're already picturing themselves as CEOs. They've already done it.
They're living it. They're imagining they've already they're actually the CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And believe it or not, the ego helps them with that.
Yeah.
You know, it helps you with that. So ego is good to have control of it, but you can't get rid of the ego, because the ego is going to give you that, as a musician, is going to give you that thing, that fire as well,
that
a little
confidence,
bit.
Confidence,
There's nothing better than having a healthy state of mind, and it's hard. It's hard, especially for a musician. You know yourself. You're thinking of finances. You're thinking of, you know, where's the next gig going to be? Am I going down the wrong path? You know, am I really a musician? Am I not a musician? Then you start questioning yourself. Is it worth all this? You know, then all of a sudden you get a bit of exposure, and then bang, you come down again, and then you got the added pressures of social media. I have to be on there. I have to be over here. I have to be on this platform, on that platform. I have to record. I have to do this. I have to do that. To that, I say, take a step back, because this is how I was last year.
Yeah.
Take a step back and ask yourself, where you really want to be and what you really want to do.
And why are you doing it?
Exactly. That's the number one reason.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it?
Like, what is this giving you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Are you enjoying it? Like, maybe you enjoyed it once, or maybe there's something that you can shift in the way you are approaching things.
Yep.
Well, we both know this. We've done this with gigs as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's all about inquiry. Just checking in with yourself.
With yourself.
Yeah.
So true. That's
and we don't do that.
We don't do that a lot.
No. During the day, not this is beyond music as well. Like, not just music. All it takes is one thing to happen, and it can change our mood instantly. But we're not aware of it. That split second. It could just be someone cutting you off.
Yeah.
But you, and it happens so quickly that it's what's the word, autonomous? No. It's automatic? I don't know.
Yeah, automatic.
It happens. It's an automatic response, but
exactly.
You don't have that self-awareness to catch it in that moment. And I'm guilty of that too.
Oh, we all are.
But in the moments, and that's okay. Look, you might not get it that time, but
yeah, exactly.
That can shift how you're feeling 100%. Exactly.
And I reckon the main culprit of that is your thought.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be communicating with anything or anyone. If a thought comes into your head, and you think, okay, that's it. I've just ruined the whole day for myself.
Yeah, right.
Or I'm getting anxiety, I'm getting panic attacks. That thought of something that hasn't happened yet.
Yes.
That can get you in that particular moment and you think, okay, that's it. The world is ending. Everything's falling around me and nothing's going to happen. You know, like, well, why am I doing all this? And, you know, it's not worth it. I'm going to sell all my gear. I'm going to
fudge you all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But if you're aware and you can catch that thought in mid-flight.
Yes.
You're well on the way to being a healthier person.
Oh, it's so powerful.
Very powerful.
I'm going to recommend feel free to recommend. I'm going to recommend Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I've just started reading.
He's a legend, that guy.
He's a legend, and his main premise is, like, he's a philosopher. His main premise is being in the present moment, and he gives you so many tools on just being self-aware, how you can be self-aware and things that can trigger. He's very – and the other guy is Joe Dispenza.
Joe Dispenza actually cured himself after – just a bit of background, after he became a paraplegic off a bike ride. So the power of the mind is very, very, very profound, and it's very magical.
Yeah.
But on Eckhart,
yeah,
I actually did a webinar and a seminar that he was hosting. And one thing that stuck in my mind was, whatever you do, remember you're in that moment. He goes, And this is what he said. If you're going to the kitchen to make yourself a coffee, enjoy it, because you're making yourself a coffee. You're here. You're not anywhere else. You're here. Enjoy making it. Put your spoon in, start stirring, and enjoy what you're doing, because in 5 seconds time, something might happen. You won't have that opportunity to.
It's so true.
So true.
But even when we're making the coffee, this is why, you're right. And, this is the thing. We're making the coffee, but we're not actually making the coffee. We're doing the motions of making the coffee, but our mind's going, oh, that paper.
What am I
going
to do next? What am I going to do? Oh, I have to do this.
We're not present with the coffee.
See, this is why when we do these podcasts, and before we do the podcast, I make a coffee or tea or something like that, and we actually connect with the guests, because I think that it's not only the actual making of the coffee, it's the conversation you're having while you're doing the coffee, that moment that you're having while you're doing your coffee, because everyone's a bit relaxed. Everyone's a bit casual. Mm. You know, you haven't met this person before. You know, chances are, you know, for the podcast, you haven't met them. So you're having a coffee. That's how that moment, that energy exchange, that's where things are going to become on a level where you're comfortable. And that's what's going to make a good interview or good podcast.
Oh, so true. You know? Yeah, that grounding. Yeah. That's one of my favorite moments. Yeah. Like before, I mean, look, the podcast is great too.
Yeah, no.
But I love that when we all go into the kitchen and then you're like, coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really great. Yeah, it's very cozy.
Yeah.
And then you can feel them already start to open up. And
I've actually got an idea.
Yeah.
We should probably do a podcast like that one, that we're making coffee and we're starting the podcast there and we just do it on the bench.
Yeah, I love that.
And just, this is where it all starts, you know.
And we literally just keep talking.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
Just, I reckon that's a good idea.
Let's do it.
We're full of ideas.
I know.
We
are
full of ideas. And it's a thing where the podcast is something that I did for myself, for my own personal development. And now I'm really enjoying it because I've got you on board as well. And we're seeing other people come in and enjoying the podcast. And you know what? In the end, I can see that the people that are coming in, they're not really worried about how many people are listening or where it's going to take them or anything like that. People are really thankful and grateful for being on the podcast just for a bit of a chat. It's like a counseling session.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've noticed. And
yeah.
And if we can help on that level, that's great.
Yeah. It's true. Just a bunch of musicians having a yarn.
Yeah. And there's nothing better than that. And that's where that, what I was talking about before, that energy, that thing where you're having a chat about things that you love, you know, which is music.
Yeah.
And I think that is, not everyone's got that.
Oh, I feel very grateful.
Yeah, I'm very grateful because not everyone's got that that connection or that ability to do that. Music can be very, it can be very out there, but it can be very a solitary sort of.
Yeah, isolating.
Yeah, like you're in this thing and you're working on things on your own a lot of the times. And it can be very isolated, but it can be very rewarding when you're actually having a chat with another musician and just talking music.
Yes.
Nothing else.
It's a way to, like, it's almost, it's an emotional outlet as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's, if anything else, this podcast has probably helped me in being aware of these people that come on the podcast and having that conversation and learning a lot from them, you know, where you probably wouldn't have had that conversation with that person in the other sort of realm.
No.
You know, so it does bring things together and that's why we do this podcast.
Yeah, meet different people.
Yeah and just exchange things, you know. And on that note.
Yeah, we could keep talking. Let's
thank the sponsors. I'll remember this time.
Yes.
Cake Eclipse. Wafer. Walnut wafer. What did you say last time? Waffle down the wafer? Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Waffle. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. You come up with some great sayings, but you don't remember them. And of course,
musicproservices.com.
Mm-hmm. Also, want to mention umlamusic.com, your website. As well.
Oh, thank you. I should probably check that it's still active because I forget to pay the subscription on it sometimes and it shuts down. It is
because I actually went there the other day and it's still active.
That's good.
But you know what? You need to have a website because some people don't like to see what's on your social stuff. They want to see what you've got on display. So the website is for that.
I need to update the website. Yeah. Thank you.
I actually updated Music Pro Services the other day with your
With Queenie. Yay.
Part of the portfolio. There's
amazing.
Music Pro Services. No. Musicproservices.com.
Yeah, you're right.
You will see the portfolio and you will see everything that I've been working on from day dot. And everything that's I'm currently working on as well.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And umlamusic.com as well.
Yes, I'll have a look at that to see what's actually there.
Yeah. And also the Instagram for Strike Accord.
Oh, yes. How do we explain that? Strike_A_chord.
That's the one. No, fine. I mean, Strike Accord comes up.
Yeah, if you look up Strike Accord, it should come up. Yeah.
Strike Accord podcast should be fine.
All right.
Great podcast.
Thank you, Valentino.
No, thank you.
Oh, it was fun.
Always a pleasure. And hopefully your Reiki session leads you into a great day tomorrow.
Oh, look, I'm ready to have a call nice summer nap. I'm feeling very, very zen.
And so you should. Till next time.
Bye.
Ciao. The Strike Accord podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.